The bed was warm. I could see the flicker of the gas lights outside, so it was still early, too early to think about getting up. I turned over, the letter still on my mind. Mama had finally read it aloud last night, and it was just as she had said.
"We have room for Katrina," Uncle Lucas had written. "She will have her own room. From what you have written over the years, she is quiet and helpful."
Her own room? What would that be like, I wondered, not having to share a bed, stretching both arms from one side to the other? I saw it in my mind, shelves in the cabinet to spread out my petticoats, my stockings, my gloves, my hat perched on a shelf all by itself. If only the uncle had added one more sentence.
"We have room for Dina, too."
If. Mama always strung happenings together with that word, reminding me of the garnet necklace she looped around her neck every morning. "Don't you see, Dina?" Mama had said one day last month, tapping one thin finger gently on my wrist. "If you hadn't forgotten the red rising on the stove, if you hadn't banged out the door with enough noise to wake the dead, then you wouldn't have bumped into Frau Ottlinger with enough force to send her flying off into the street. And," Katerina had barely held back her laughter, "if the street hadn't been clear of carriages at that very moment, Frau Ottlinger would have been run over by a horse."
"Ah, no," Franz had said, nudging Friedrich. "Frau Ottlinger would have run over the horse."
Friedrich had nearly fallen off the kitchen chair, laughing, but Mama had tapped harder. "That's not the point. The point is, I nearly lost Frau Ottlinger as a client, and I did lose the bread. When it came out of the oven, holes the size of your fist ran through it." I turned over in bed again, punching my pillow, thinking of another day sewing for Mama's clients, threading needles, running fine stitches in and out of the silk, the linen, the wool, working on seams and darts and plackets. And then I remembered. I sat up straight and slid out of bed in one motion. How could I have forgotten what my plan was for this morning? Still, I hesitated. What I was going to do was so simple, usually so easy. But now, so dangerous. Next to me, Katerina slept on like the dead, her dark hair covering her closed eyes with their long, straight lashes. Camel eyelashes, I called them. I twisted my hair up on the back of my head, then opened the door quietly, a pair of old shoes in my hand. The second-floor stairs couldn't fool me. The top steps were quiet, as they should be. It was only when I reached the 9th and 10th squeaky treads that I had to watch out. With both hands I put my weight on the banister. I glided over the next two steps on my bare toes, plink, plink, and raced to the bottom. Safe. Mama slept on, so did Katerina. Franz and Friedrich were probably awake fighting in their bedroom, but what did they care about what I was doing? Outside the hall window, I could see the great cathedral of St. Stephen, and in front, the river, with its thin spirals of early morning mist. I tiptoed into the sewing room and pulled on a pair of Papa's old pants from the drawer. So old I could see the large, uneven stitches I had made in the waist when I was beginning to tailor. What would Mama say if she caught me wearing trousers? I couldn't imagine. But the last time I had done this, my skirt had been muddied, almost ruined. I had had the worst time hiding it from her. I sat down on the slipper chair to squeeze my feet into worn shoes with cracked leather. I didn't dare wear good shoes for what I was about to do. At this hour of the morning, the forms of Mama's clients looked like ghosts without heads, arms, or legs, waiting to have fabric draped over them, pinned, and sewed. In the center was the form of Frau Ottlinger, our richest client, but certainly not the thinnest. Frau Ottlinger and I had something in common. We both loved wide noodles and coffee cake for dessert. And when I knelt on the floor to pin up her hem, she'd wink at me. "Put the candy plate a little closer on the serving table, Dina," she'd say. "We don't want it to fall off, do we?"